You are listening to the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Markaz al-Sahaba.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. The 11th of Muharram 1441, which is also the 11th of September 2019. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. On our program, The Bliss of Marriage, Part 2, Wednesday between 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock. I want to welcome my engineer, Brother Tobela, and let's welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Yusuf and Haji Faisal, a smiling company. Let's welcome our beautiful, warm-hearted listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa rafat, jazakallahu khairan.
To the listeners quickly, 084-786-3132. That's our WhatsApp number to the international overseas countries, +27847863132. So somebody wants to know that what are the conditions which should be observed when doing salat at home with your wife and female children when there are no other males? Ustad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, we must realize that the men are supposed to read their salat in the masjid with jama'ah, and the women are supposed to read their salat at home. Likewise, our daughters, granddaughters, all supposed to read salat at home. This is a sign which Almighty Allah has mentioned in Surah Maryam, chapter number 19, verse 59. فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ. The father, grandfather, grandparents were pious people, and then they left behind unworthy successors. If you use the word khalfun, unworthy successors. فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاءُ الصَّلَاةِ. They squandered their salat, wasted their salat, وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ, and they followed their base desires, and that is making salat at home, jamaat at home. فَصَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. Soon they will enter and meet غَيَّا. غَيَّا is one of the worst places in Jahannam. And the hellfire, other parts of Jahannam, hellfire, seeks the protection of Almighty Allah from that place there. And this is Surah chapter 19, verse 59. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is warning us. Yes, if a person overslept, or if a person is living in some farm or remote area, and then you want to make imamat, so that is a different issue. But this what the way the question is posed, and to make it a habit, that definitely is not permissible. It's a sign of munafiqeen and hypocrites. So what we need to do is remember that if the male is the imam and his wife or children, grandchildren are following, then you give the adhan, that is the men must give the adhan. The iqamat, if your son is there, he'll give the iqamat. Otherwise you, the imam yourself, you give the iqamat. Then the wife will stand behind you, the children will stand at the back, all of them. And that is how you will make the imamat for them. But remember, this cannot be done on a perpetual basis. That is not permissible.
Somebody says here, Mufti Saab, this is from Robert Shem. Mufti Saab, we thoroughly respect you and we thoroughly enjoy the bliss of marriage, part one and part two. And the sister says he would like to remain strictly anonymous, very strictly. That's what she says here. I am going through a nervous breakdown, Mufti Saab. My ex was abusive and filthy rich. I finally managed to walk out. Because of his status and wealth, he bought the judges over and won the custody battle of my two little apples of my eye. I am crying. I am lost. I am so devastated. Please guide me.
Start. Obviously, in cases like this, that if that really happened, that way he has got custody of the children, then you must have visitation rights and so forth. And you should write to the ulama organizations and so forth that they must intervene, because remember, end of the day, they are there to help the people. And even if the person by hook or crook, according to what you are saying, that he won the case, but Islamically, remember, it does not mean that he is always right. They can make mistakes, or there can be corruption. So many things can happen in the case like this. Allah alone knows. So whatever it is, my advice will be that you should get some influential people involved, and they can speak to your ex-husband, and in that way there, at least that you can have some custody or some visitation rights over your children and so forth. Therefore, in Islam, when you have very, very young children, then the sons, the daughters, all must go to the mother. And after that, remember, then they go to the father, or you ask them where they want to stay and so forth. So we always look at the welfare of the children. So Allah alone knows. We can't pass a verdict based on one side of the story. But if it is allegedly true that what you are saying, then in cases like that, we will say best is to get the senior members or ulama involved, and then you try and reach an amicable situation and settlement.
Somebody says here, Mufti Saab, I recently found out that my wife lied to me. Before we got married, she was dating someone else. I have never ever dated in my life. It says here, I have never ever dated in my life, and I am so put off, I feel betrayed. The impure are for the impure. This is a brother from Azadvan Ustad.
Remember that we don't know what happened when they were dating and so forth. But now if you are married to her, and if you have children and so forth, so my advice will be, Allah tuhibbuna an yaghfir Allahu lakum, that remember that would you not love that Almighty Allah forgives you? You also made mistakes, she also made mistakes, and now there might be innocent children involved and so forth. So therefore, look to the past and the future, rather look at the present and the future, and don't go to the past, because once you do that, then remember that will not be constructive for you, productive for you. It will always, the shaitan will bring more and more waswasa and whisperings, and in that way there, you will try and break your marriage and so forth. So therefore, we need to understand this type of issues.
Mufti, somebody says, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. My husband's brothers are very bad influence on him. He becomes a shaitani dada in their company. He smokes and he chats up women. When I confront him, Mufti Saab, he says he'll never let a woman come in between him and his bras. Never. Please guide me, Mufti Saab.
Obviously, that in a case like that, we must remember that for this person, yeah, that is, that when he is in this bad company, then he tries and impress them, and they will smoke and do other things and so forth, and he feels that this is now because he wants to show that unity with them. There is no unity in Islam in batil and sin. Therefore, the Quran Sharif taught us the law, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, cooperate and assist in righteousness and piety, وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, and do not cooperate in sin and transgression. So each one of us must realize this, that is that to do these type of things and say and be proud about it, no, I will never let down my brothers or whoever else or my friends, but they are involved in vices, so that is asabiyya and partisanship. And Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, an tu'inahum ala zulmin, you assist them in vices and sin and wrongdoing, and these type of things have nothing to do with Islam. So therefore, what you are saying and what you are doing, both are misguided, brother. We need to change for the better and not keep up the jahiliyyah and system of ignorance.
Ustad, I think you should tell the listeners, I see there's another 2-3 messages saying, Mulana, you're not replying. If there are problems with Merkaz Sahaba, please do tell us, Ustad.
Yes, we are off air. I just heard of it now, that on the radio, the decoder, but we are on the stream, that audio streaming, the internet. You can listen to us there, inshallah. But I think there is some problem regarding the decoders. So we do apologize for that. But remember, on the stream audio, the streamline there, you can listen to us on the internet, inshallah. Or you can listen to us on, I think, on the Sirius FM also. That Sirius FM, I don't
no.
sure if they are on. Okay, no. They are also not on with us. So you can just listen to us on the audio streaming, inshallah. And once the program is finished, then we will have a podcast done, and then we'll send it out, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khairan, Ustad, for that. Ustad, Mufti Saab, what are the duties of a husband financially towards his wife? When we go out, is it correct for his wife to pay for her meals while she is not working? This is from UK, Ustad.
You must remember that the wife does not have to work. Remember, that is a big myth. It doesn't mean because you are in UK or you are in Europe or America or South Africa, then the wife has to work. That is totally haram, in fact, in Islam. The husband is the breadwinner. And in Islam, you don't want your wife to go and work and rub shoulders and all that with other men. And then they have to wear a particular type of uniform. They have to sacrifice so much of their Islamic law and their haya, their shame and modesty and morality. So all that is unacceptable. So in today's Western world, the husband works, the wife works, the daughter works, and then they say, no, they want financial independence. Everybody pays their own bills. In Islam, that system is cursed. In Islam, we say that when the father he has to pay for his daughters from the time of her birth right till the time of her marriage. And from time of marriage right till death, remember, the husband has to pay for that. So that is what is required. We must remember this. So in a case like this, what will be done is that each one of us must know our own duties. Not that now what we have to pay, you tell the wife that she must pay for her own clothing, she must pay for her own food, she must pay for the telephone. No. Remember, all this will be the duty of the husband, the rental, the water lights, the medication, all these type of things. So if there's a house phone, for example, he's using it, wife is using it, I'm not speaking of abuse. So in cases like that, remember that the husband, he is responsible, or the father is responsible.
0847863132. We are live as well with Sirius FM, just to the listeners out there. My engineer, Brother Tobela, just indicating to me that yes, it's live as well. So let's welcome the listeners of Sirius FM who are tuning and listening to Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Move this up next week, Thursday. Myself and my husband will be traveling. We'll be going to Baytullah, Haramain, Sharafain, Makkatul Mukarrama, Madinatul Munawwara. Move this up. The question is, if you are traveling for Umrah and spend 7 days in Medina, 7 days in Makkah, are you a musafir? Do you perform Qasr Salah when en route and performing alone? This is a sister, Ustad.
Right through, you are musafir if you are following the Hanafi school, and you and your husband should be reading Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 128 abundantly. وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. O beloved Allah, show us the way, that is where the places of Umrah, the places of Hajj and so forth, and make us your guests. So that is the meaning of it, and forgive us. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. O beloved Allah, you are all forgiving, very, very merciful. So in a case like that, you must remember that Allah Ta'ala make your journey a safe one. So you must read the Salat in your plane also while going for Umrah. And you must read your Salat behind the Imams for the men and the women, better for you in the hotel. But you are Musafir if you are following the Hanafi school. However, if you are following the Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali school, then remember, they say that if you stay in a certain place for 4 days and more, so then you must read full Salat from day one. So let's say you are traveling from here to Jeddah, so you musafir. From Jeddah you come to Medina, so on that route you musafir. Then you're staying in Medina 1 week, and you're following Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali, then you must read full Salat. Whether you're reading behind the Imam, or you're reading on your own like the women folk. And then when you travel from Medina to Makkah, so you are musafir again. Then you stay in Makkah 1 week, you must read full Salat. So that is how it will work if you are following the Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali school. And remember that if you want my books on Hajj and Umrah and other topics, then remember that just send me WhatsApp message 071-888-1184. We can send you a PDF copy and then you can use it, inshallah. Or if you want hard copies, then you can contact Dr. Yunus Musa. He is there in Pietermaritzburg, mashallah, and he is selling my books and so forth. So you can, inshallah, contact Dr. Yunus Musa in Pietermaritzburg.
I see we are back, my engineer indicating to me that we are back live on the airwaves as well, on MODEC, am I right, Brother Tobela? Yes, we are live. So just to all the listeners, we do apologize for that. We are back live. Let's welcome the listeners of Merkaz Sahaba. Let's welcome the listeners of Sirius FM. Ustad, let us go to our sisters in Australia. They want to know, Mufti Saab, respected, honorable Mufti Saab, masla pertaining to a woman in Iddah. And the sister says in Australia from Perth, please provide what a dua that will help when desperate for wealth, for safety, for happiness, for protection. Ustad.
Remember, for husband, wife, you should try and read this dua. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. O Almighty Allah, grant us such spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. So that is Surah 25, verse 74. And if your children are now growing up and so forth, and now you're really worried about them, read Surah 46, verse 15. Surah 46, in the beginning of the 26th Supara, 26 Jews, verse 15, 1-5, wa aslih li fi dhurriyati, O Almighty Allah, bring about reform, piety in my children, in my progeny. And third one is that start ta'aleem in our homes. And ta'aleem means that daily you take Riyadu Salihin, you take the Fazail works, and in that way there you read it, inshallah. Almighty Allah will then bring a change and nur in your home. Likewise, after Fajr, after Maghrib, read the dua. Bismillahi ala deeni. Ya Allah, I'm taking your name. You protect my deen, Islam. Wa nafsi, and my life, O Almighty Allah, that people don't attack me, assault me. And then wa waladi, then remember my children. There are different ways of reading it, but these are the five things. So Bismillahi ala deeni, wa nafsi, wa waladi, my children, wa ahli, my wife, husband, whatever it is, wa mali, and my wealth. So one is for the deen, the religion, one is for the life and nafsi, one is for the children, for the waladi, one is for the wife or husband, wa ahli, and one is wa mali, for our wealth, our assets, the hadith in Mishkat Sharif. So daily make this a ma'mool and a routine. After Fajr, after Maghrib, we are reading it after Fajr and Maghrib, and Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala will assist and help us.
I see Dr. Saab is back with us this morning, Mufti Saab. Yes, he says that he wants to know the value. What value does an Islamic marriage certificate add in the terms of the South African law? Ustad.
Remember that in Islam, when you speak of true Islam in an Islamic country, Muslim country, you don't really need all this documentation and certificate. But because today we travel and so many issues can come up when people pass away and so forth, documentations are required. So for legal purposes of that country or while you're traveling, so therefore we say it's good that you have, and we'll tell the imams and maulanas and the sheikhs who are solemnizing nikah normally every week, second week they have a nikah. So they should give the husband and the wife copies and so forth. So that is one. For easy example, I give you, Dr. Saab, that you know many a time the person is married, right? So the husband's name is Ahmed Muhammad and the wife's name is Yasmin Suleiman. What is an example? So the surnames are different, all that. Never mind some Western countries, even some Muslim countries, that can become an issue and so forth. They will say, but your surnames are not the same and so forth. So therefore, that nikah certificate will then facilitate matters and make life easier. Secondly, remember for your will, also it will assist you and help you and so forth, in case where there are people who are raising certain concerns and what have you. Third one, till as we stand now, in South African context we are speaking of 25 years in democracy, so we should remember in a case like that, that our Islamic marriages are still not automatically recognized. So they are trying, people are trying for this, but remember, remember, we are opposing it in the current format because there are too many clauses there that are un-Islamic. So therefore, it's better that we do it ourselves. And what is that? When we register our marriages, we register ANC. Nothing to do with a political party. ANC means anti-nuptial contract without and excluding the accrual system. And in that way, your will and everything will be fine. Islamic world, you will have no problem. So that is from the legal perspective.
Well, sir, let's go to Klerksdorp. This is Nani, who is your ardent listener. She follows you from the time you were at CII. And she wants to know, Mufti Saab. She says, I would appreciate if Mufti Saab, if all your articles that are sent via email be published on your website as well. Ustad, I don't know.
Yes, it is on a website. If it's not all, but most of them are there. So, mashallah, I was in Durban and I spoke to our team also who are in charge. And I know the nasiha from number one, that is nasiha number one, to today I sent out with Almighty Allah's help, Adam in Fadli Rabbi, 1,370, all are uploaded on my website, Mufti akhussain.net, muftiakhussain.net, and we thank our Hafiz Muhammad Basa for that. And then we have the Markaz Sahaba website, markazsahaba.com. So our brother Hafiz Suhail Wahid and them are in charge of that. So we told them that every day, so it must be updated. Inshallah, they are doing that as well. So most of it is, you will find it on both websites, or on mine you will find it. So you just scroll through it and study it, O Nani, and make dua for us. Allah Ta'ala accept it and make it a means of hidayat and success in this world and hereafter.
Ameen, ameen, thumma ameen. Nani wants to know, Klerksdorp waiting for you and Mulana Arafat to start.
Inshallah, next week we're going to Northern Natal. So inshallah, after that we'll try and make some progress. Them so many places one Allah. So we're just looking at our practicality also, inshallah.
Ameen. We go to brother Yaqub from Ethiopia. He says, Allah bless me with 5 children, Mufti Saab. I want to know if what he says, contraception is allowed in Islam. I want to have number 6 also, but wife say no. Ustad.
So mashallah, that my brother touches a move. So yeah, that you mashallah married for 10 years or 7 years and you got 5 children.
11 years of studies.
11 years mashallah. So you got every 2 years, 2.5 years a child. Allah Ta'ala bless you with more and more. So what you must do is, both of you, husband, wife, you must be reading abundantly Surah 25 verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Oh Almighty Allah, grant us our spouses, our children, that are the coolness of the eyes. Daily you must read, your wife must read, get your children who can read looking inside also. The Asma'ul Husna, Surah 7 verse number 180. Almighty Allah commands us, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا, that whosoever that reads it, so Almighty Allah will bless him Jannah. And the hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. So Almighty Allah is commanding us and invoke the names of Allah, call out and read and recite the names of Almighty Allah. Read Ya Wadudu Ya Wadud. So Allah blesses you with 5 children, 6 children, 7 children. So it is all a gift effort Almighty Allah is giving you. But if there's problems with your wife, that some children were born through the C-section, cesarean section, and the health is not allowing and so forth, then for that reason, remember, she can use some type of contraceptive, but it must be reversible, not irreversible. They can't go get sterilized or you get sterilized and so forth, that's haram. So any medication that is reversible, so that would be permissible in these type of cases where you have 5, 6 children and so forth.
Subhanallah. I see Bain Wadbank says, Move this up. A touch is a move. Far from Wadbank. Ustad, before we go for an ad break quickly, inshallah, regarding our decoders, Ustad?
Yes, regarding my books, I told you that some bookshops are selling it. Otherwise, go direct to Dr. Yunus Musa, and he is in Marisburg, and you can contact him. You just see any of my book at the back. You will find all his details there, and especially his cell phone. You can contact him by WhatsApp. Regarding our decoders, if you are there in the Durban area, then you can contact IG Hussein. They in the Overport branch or the Ansar bookstore, the media center, they are selling it. Or you go contact Hafiz Hussein Wadi. Then, mashallah, he's there in the Huda school. And then you can purchase it from them. Per decoder is 695 rand. And if you buy a whole box, one box comprises and consists of 10 decoders, then it is 650 rand each, 6,500 rand for the 10 decoders. So that is your options. And that is in Durban. And if you want it from here, then you can contact us directly. And then we will tell you that you can get it tuned up or whatever. Some people do have the decoders, but they just need to get it tuned up. So our brother Junaid Khan and them are here available. They'll come to your residence and inshallah they'll tune it up for you.
Ustad, the sisters in Australia, they want to know the ruling in Islam regarding hair removal from a female's legs. Is this permitted in Islam to do so, Ustad?
Yes, you must remember, for a female to remove the hair from her feet, from her legs, from her hands, she don't have to look like dirty, hairy, you know, like a person who's got so much hair. The husband will also be turned off and so forth. The man must maintain their manliness, and a woman must keep her feminism. So that is what it is, not mix up the two and confuse the two. So if a lady does that, that is permissible, that lay on her feet, you must remember, or legs, the hair, the waxing and what have you. However, the hair on the head and all that, the plaits and all that, that is not permissible. That a lady cuts that hair, definitely not permissible.
26 minutes to 12. We'll go, inshallah, for a quick ad break. When we get back, inshallah, we will continue with the bliss of marriage. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the voice of Ahlus Sunnah Wal Jama'ah.
24 minutes to 12. I want to welcome each and every listener, alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal, on this beautiful Wednesday morning, part 2, The Bliss of Marriage. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, my beloved Fadilatul Ustad Hazrat Malana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafidhahullah. To the listeners of Sirius FM, we welcome you, and to the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you as well. 0847863132. Ustad Azadul, can you please tell me more about Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, Ustad?
Remember that people are masters of deception today. You have a group of people who are known as Qadianis, but they don't like to be called Qadianis. So wherever you go in the West, and they're starting here in South Africa, Cape Town, few other places, they call themselves Ahmadi Muslim Jamaat. They're 100% non-Muslim. They're out of the fold of Islam, and there's consensus on that according to all the ulama, Indo-Pak ulama, the senior ulama, and according to the Salafi ulama, and according to the Arab ulama. So remember, I believe Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, who was an agent of the British, you must remember, then he said you can't fight against them, and so many other things, statements he made. So he said he is the Mahdi. Then he said he is the Nabi and Prophet, and all this written in all his books. He says he received Wahi and revelation. So remember, wherever you see Ahmadi Muslim, and actually it's a euphemism for the Qadianis, and Qadianis are totally out of the fold of Islam, and we must have nothing to do with them. Another group that you must remember are out of the fold of Islam are the Shia. So today you must remember, in Muharram, they hit themselves and do all crazy things. So on Ashura, why they do this? Because Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu cursed them before his martyrdom. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu's beloved son, Hazrat Zainul Abidin, that who's buried there, remember, in Medina Munawwara, he also cursed them and told them that Almighty Allah's la'anat is upon them. Hazrat Fatima As-Sughra, the beloved daughter of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, and they all are eyewitnesses to what happened in Karbala. She cursed them and told them, Allah Ta'ala will punish you till day of Qiyamah. So you see the Shia, la'anahumullah, on the day of Muharram, 10th Muharram, they hitting themselves and doing crazy things. One chap pulled out the gun and shot his son or something. So all these satanic activities, Almighty Allah calls such people قَدْ خَسِرَ الَّذِينَ قَتَلُوا أَوْلَادَهُمْ سَفَهَمْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ, that such people are fools, that they are killing their own children, and this is a sign of their foolishness. So here Almighty Allah is already warning us of such type of people. وَحَرَّمُوا مَا رَزَقَهُمُ اللَّهُ افْتِرَانَ عَلَى اللَّهِ, and what Allah Ta'ala made halal, they go make haram. قَدْ ضَلُّوا وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ, they astray and are not guided. Surah 6, Surah An'am, verse number 140. So Shias are also by and large out of the fall of Islam. Qadianis, Ahmadis are out of the fall of Islam. Aga Khanis and Boris are out of the fall of Islam. So we need to stick to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah and not get caught up with all these people's propaganda.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Somebody says here, Ustad, the Arab ulama never ever make mention of Imam Abu Hanifa. Why is that so? Is this true, Ustad?
Remember that I don't know from which part of the world you are, or even if you understand Arabic or not. Just last week, Friday, Sheikh Usama Khayyat, the Imam and Khatib of Majidul Haram, so I translated the khutbah from Durban. He took the name of Imam Abu Hanifa not once, but twice in his khutbah last week, Friday. The khutbah was to do on Muharram and Ashura. So you just go to the Haramain and website and listen to the khutbah. You can listen to it yourself. So to make statements like that, remember, is based on ignorance and is based on partisanship that people say. So you must remember that the four schools are part of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and every person who teaches fiqh and hadith and so forth will definitely take the name of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. So remember, Imam Abu Hanifa don't need to be great because of me and you. Allah Ta'ala made him great already. So you must remember, it's like a non-Muslim saying that, you know, he won't take the name of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he don't want to harm Nabi Alayhi Salaam. So if some alim, some person don't want to take the name of Imam Abu Hanifa, that's their problem. It's not Imam Abu Hanifa's problem. But for you to say the Arab ulama don't do so, that's a fabrication itself.
Subhanallah. Somebody says, Ya Mufti Sahab, recently I attended a funeral. The deceased was married twice and divorced both wives. Both the wives were present but were asked to leave, as it was a sin that will be passed on to the deceased if they stayed on. Is this true, Ustaz?
Remember that it just depends that when he divorced them and now they are iddat, everything is finished, and now they are total strangers to him because now they got nothing to do. So if they came and so forth right in the room where he was, their ex-husband, so that is right, that a person can tell them you must leave from there, because you as strangers got no right to be in a strange woman, to got no right to be in the room where the men are. Likewise, where the woman is buried, passed away, now strange men come there to look at her, and that, so the men must be taken out also. So that is correct. But remember, for them to pray and all that for the deceased ex-husband, so all that is permissible, because you are no more his wife, so you are all ex-wives, he's your ex-husband. So if you all went in that room and now you want to perform and, you know, tears and whatever, and now you look at him and but it's your ex-husband, it's not your husband. So that is right. Remember, whoever told you to leave, so they have the right to do so.
We go to Dubai, Mufti Saab. We don't have much knowledge. Of course, you have more knowledge than us, Mufti Saab, regarding the Shia. It says, Mufti Saab, this is in Dubai. The Shia opened their own Kaaba today in Iran, as you can see, which they say will now be the meeting place of their members worldwide. Are these people truly, Ustad?
Obviously, there are so many people sent it to me, but we need to be careful as well, because sometimes on social media, lot of things are also, you know, they call it photoshopping and what have you. So we will say, if it is true, it just proves my point that I'm making, that Shias are non-Muslim, and this also proves it. And even if they don't have it there, they're still non-Muslim. They are the people in Iran, in a city called Kashan. They have built a shrine and a mazar. Mazar means a mausoleum and a shrine for the murderer of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an in Kashan. So imagine, they hate Sayyidina Umar so much, they curse him, Allah forbid. The death curse never gets accepted, it falls on them. And second one is for the murderer, who's a Majusi, a fire worshipper, Zoroastrian, for him they built a shrine. So if they built Kaaba, they were, they're not going to help. Same thing like Abraha wanted to do, that he wanted to demolish the Kaaba Musharrafa and then build one big Kaaba there in Yemen. So Almighty Allah destroyed him and destroyed his ideas, and the whole surah field got revealed. وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلٍ. So if they think they're going to build Kaaba there and so forth because of their politics, so they can do whatever they want to. But remember, we, the Muslims, the Ahlu Sunnah, will always go to the Kaaba Musharrafa and the Baytullah in Makkah. And what they have built is not Baytullah, it's Baytul Shaitan, because they follow Hizbu Shaitan. Even Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi said in Lebanon, it's not Hizbullah, it's Hizbu Shaitan. So they are the party of Shaitan and they're not Muslims.
Allahu Akbar. Somebody says, Mufti Saab, I am very, very upset. Very, very furious. My mother-in-law cut my little girl's hair in a punk hairstyle and shaved a part of it off. She says I must live with the times and stop living in the Stone Age, as I am in Parda. I am considered to be old-fashioned and closed-up mentality. This is from Boxburg, Ustad.
So where's your husband in all this? You are furious, I can understand it. What your mother-in-law did, I understand that, because she herself, you must remember, that her iman has gone so weak, she thinks the West is the best and white is right. But where does the father of the child, your husband, fit in all this? Can't he speak to his mother? Can't he reprimand her and rebuke her and tell her what you're doing is absolutely haram and you got no authority to do all these type of things, is your child? So you must be furious, you must be, and if you are living with your mother-in-law, this is sufficient grounds for you to tell your husband that you want separate quarters, even if it's an outbuilding or whatever, or a small flat, because she is going to try and twist the mind of your little girl, your little beautiful daughter, and tell her, watch this cartoon, watch this movie, do this, do this. You will try as a biological mother to bring about Islam in her. But your grandmother, the dadima, the husband's mother, remember, will try and bring about Western values, satanic values in her. So this will be a constant uphill battle. So in cases like that, it's best for you to move away from there. And you as the mother and your husband as the father have the rights over the baby, much more an authority compared to your grandparents. So you need to speak to your husband, and both of you need to have unity of thought. Both must be on the same page and same side. Then you take action and tell your mother-in-law that this, and what she's trying to justify it, that's even worse, because now she's trying to say Islam is outdated, orthodox, backward, and we must live with the times. So live with the times, they walk naked, so walk naked also. So that is living with the times. So remember, all these are the satanic ways of working. Allah protect us.
Ameen, ameen, thumma ameen. Ustad, I see the husband did send a message of regarding that question that you were saying now. He says, my name is Farid, but please, Mufti Saab, explain yourself in detail. I don't see anything wrong. She's only a child. I don't see my mother doing anything wrong. This is Brother Farid from Boxburg, Ustad.
My brother Farid, I'm surprised you can ever make this kind of statement. Surah 66, verse number 6. Almighty Allah teaches us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, save yourself and your children from the fire. So you want your mother, the grandmother of the child, to instill the kafir non-Muslim values in your child. So it means that you don't want Islam, you want and you like their thing there. So when we speak of Islam, Islam is a code of life from the womb to the tomb, from the cradle to the grave. It don't mean the child is innocent, but remember, we must be responsible and not instill in them and try and justify our haram actions. So you and your mother are guilty of a major, major sin. And if you continue like this, then Allah's curse will be on you for many, many occasions. So brother, make sincere tawbah and never try and justify your vices, and listen to what your wife is saying.
Ustad Durban, my daughter is unmarried. However, she is pregnant. The biological father is non-Muslim. He refuses to make nikah or accept Islam. He wants the child to follow Hinduism. He does not want the child to have a Muslim name. My daughter has decided to give the child up for adoption. What is the Islamic ruling on this matter? Please guide me. I'm confused.
There's nothing to be confused that your daughter needs to get 100 lashes in public. And remember, Quran has mentioned that Surah 24, Surah Nur, verse 2. A zaniyatu wa zani. In Islam, when a boy and girl commit fornication, they're not married. Fajlidu kulla wahidin minhuma miyata jalda. And then remember, they must be given 100 lashes each in public. Don't show them compassion. Second question, you the parents, where were you? You only woke up now when your name and reputation will be tarnished and in the doldrums. So you are also partly to be blamed. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salam said, when the son or daughter commits zina, fornication, fa innal ithma ala abi, the sin is on the parents as well, because it means that you were not fulfilling your responsibility and shirking your duties. Third one now, she can't have an abortion, is out of the question. She has to give birth, and then the name of the child will go to the mother. All haram, illegitimate children, the lineage goes to the mother. Fourth one is, he had his good time, he's a non-Muslim, Hindu or whatever, and he's not interested. So make sure you have custody over the child. And remember, don't allow him, because he will make her a non-Muslim and so forth. He's telling you clearly that they start worshipping idols and so forth. So all that is haram for us as Muslims. Next one is that you should now stay with your child, not shirk your responsibilities and say, no, I will just give my child for adoption. The people will always know that you had a haram child and so forth. So that is my advice to you. The doors of Tawbah are always open. And remember, if you make sincere Tawbah, Almighty Allah will forgive you.
So somebody, I think they are confused. They say that, Mufti Sahab, I asked you whether or not I was divorced from my wife, and you said as long as we reconciled and no buy-in was stipulated, we are not living in haram. Mufti Sahab, what do you mean by no buy-in stipulated? I'm sorry for asking so many questions. It's just that I don't know and I want to be safe. Anonymous Ustad.
I said if a husband gave his wife one talaq e raj'i, revocable divorce, or if a husband gave his wife two talaq e raj'i, so remember, they can still reconcile during the iddat period without a new nikah. And after one talaq or two talaq, and the iddat expires, then they must perform a new nikah after the iddat expired, if it is one talaq raj'i or two talaq. But if it is three talaq, then you cannot reconcile, you cannot remarry. So that is what it is. Therefore, these type of questions, best is both of you go to your local ulama, or you go to your jamiats and whoever, and in that way you solve the problem, because many questions need to be asked as well.
0847863132. Somebody from UK says, I came across a hadith about separating the beds at the age of 7 or 10. I just would like to know, Mufti Sahab, if a grown man is allowed to sleep in the same bed with his elderly father who is 60 plus, would the answer differ if a parent relative is not very well, Ustad?
Remember, if the son, he's 40 years old, and his father is 65, 70 years old, and they sleep, so that is permissible for health reasons, but even there, they should take precaution, and that is, they should not sleep, you understood, with one blanket or one sheet and so forth. Give both of them separate blankets, separate sheet, or let them sleep in the same room and have two separate beds rather than sleeping on one double bed. Because today we know that so many vices occur in the name of gay business, or incest and so forth. I'm not saying it happened, but we need to take this precaution as well, because we know what is really happening in the world. Second issue here is this, that if it is elderly and for health reasons, then it's permissible. There's no problem with that.
Somebody is asking, Ustad from Azadville, is namaz behind a Barelwi imam accepted, Ustad?
You must remember, any person who belongs to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, then the Salat is valid. I told you, if it is Qadiani or Ahmadi or Shia or Aghakhani, they're out of the fold of Islam, and remember, the Salat would not be valid. So when you read Salat behind any person who belongs to Ahlu Sunnah, then your Salat is valid, no problem.
Ustad, a small wazifa to find a spouse, Ustad? A pious spouse?
Remember, you, the parents, you worried about your son, you worried about your daughter, grandchildren. Read Surah 25, verse 54. Surah 25, Surah Furqan, verse 54. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ بَشَرًا. That He, Almighty Allah, created you from the semen and made for you nasabaw wa sihra and gave you a lineage and gave you in-laws as well. So you must remember, you, the parents, read that for your children, grandchildren. And you, the boy, the girl, who are not married as yet, read Surah 25, verse 74. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. O Almighty Allah, grant us our spouses and our children that are the coolness of the eyes. Never lose hope in the mercy of Allah after Zuhr, after Maghrib, after Isha, Tahajjud time. Whenever, 15 minutes after sunrise, you read 2 rakat salah daily, and Almighty Allah will open up many doors, inshallah.
Somebody says, Mufti Saab, that my husband has started hanging around with the wrong company. He's hanging out with drug addicts. I told him to stop, but the more he hangs out with them, he says he is just trying to help them out. Ustad.
This is another mechanism of the shaitan and propaganda of the shaitan. Slowly, slowly, he will start trying it with them, experimenting, peer pressure. Further and further, he will go away from the masjid, further away from his wife and children. So these type of people who are indulging in these type of activities, drugs, alcohol, womanizing, gambling, you have to stay far from them. You thinking that you're going to change them, 90% the chances are they will influence you. So my brother, rather get them to professional help. There are many ulama, many organizations who are helping these type of people. According to the question that is posed, it seems that you want to now go and help yourself rather than helping them. So therefore, you will lose your wife, you will lose your children, you will lose everything if you are not careful. Because this alcohol, drugs and everything, al-khamru ummul khaba'ith, ummul fawahish, it is the mother of all vices and sin. So therefore, it is absolutely haram in Islam. Okay, we must remember quickly, let me give you the lineup of today. 12 o'clock, inshallah, will be the news. 12 to 1, inshallah, will be our brother Alphys with current affairs. Then 1 o'clock, the Adhan for Zohar. 5 past 1 to half past 1, inshallah, Surah An-Nazi'at and verses 34 till the end of the Surah. And that will be from 5 past 1 to half past 1. And then half past 1 to 2, that will be, inshallah, from the archives. That is, for Surah Kahf, inshallah. And then 2 to 3, inshallah, we will have our Sheikh Zakaria Samir, and he will be, ma'allah, the program in the mercy of Almighty Allah. And then 3 to up past 5, our brother Yusuf Ali, inshallah, will be on air. And thereafter, we go to our Durban studio, and that will be Mona Khalid Yaqub till 7 o'clock. Then 7 to up past 7 will be Azad Mona Yunus Patel, rahimahullah. And then up past 7 to 8, the repeat of my tafsir that you will hear today, inshallah. And that is, as I mentioned, Surah Nazi'at. And verses you can listen to today is verses number 34, right up to verse number 46. 34 to 46, that will be the ending of the surah. And then 8 to 9, inshallah, will be Dr. Yusuf Wahid, mashallah. And he has a very important guest, Mr. Tony Baez. Mr. Tony Baez is a medical advisor, and they'll be discussing the hot topic of the NHI, the National Health Insurance, and you know all that there. So the pros and the cons and all that of the NHI. So whether what will happen, what will not happen, and so forth. So a very, very important topic today with Dr. Yusuf Wahid between 8 and 9 tonight on Markaz Sahaba. So that will be our lineup from now, inshallah, right up till 9 o'clock in the evening.
Ustad, is 1.5 minutes left. Final question, inshallah. Mufti Saab, I have been committing sins most of my life. For a few years now, I am reforming. However, as much time I spend in Tawbah, Dua, Salah, Jamaat, Ta'aleem, etc., I still feel very despondent. I worry and stress that I am not forgiven. I worry and stress that I am not doing enough for deen, etc. This worry and concern won't leave me. My trust in Allah is weak. How do I strengthen this, Ustad?
Remember, first thing, you have to be positive with Almighty Allah. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never become disillusioned in the Almighty Allah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Verily, Almighty Allah forgives all the sins. Secondly, read abundantly the worry, stress you're going through. La ilaha illa anta subhanak. Inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. And to inshallah enhance and increase your iman, read afdalu zikri la ilaha illallah. Read the kalima la ilaha illallah, la ilallah, la ilallah Muhammadur Rasulullah abundantly. Read Quran Sharif abundantly and make abundant tawbah, istighfar, salawat, salutations. So all these are ways that our iman will be increased inshallah. So may Almighty Allah make it easy for all of us that we become better Muslims and better ambassadors of Islam inshallah.
Jazakumullah khairan Ustad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you tremendously inshallah. From myself, my beloved Fadilatul Ustad Hazrat Malana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah and Brother Tobela, we say thank you to you and to all the listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.